Amen. Our text for this morning's message, as I said before, is from the epistle reading we read just a few moments ago. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice, dear friends in Christ. Today is the Sunday of joy. Like Lent, Advent is actually a penitential season. Traditionally, the colors were purple rather than blue, like Lent. And it's a season that we prepare for the coming of our Messiah, the return of Christ to reign over His creation and His church. So some of the disciplines of a penitential season are always a good focus of our preparation: confession, fasting, reflection of our sin. It's a good preparation for the one who will actually supply every need of ours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. But this time of penitence and abstinence, it really can't restrain the joy that we have in the coming of our Lord. Not only the coming of our Lord 2,000 years ago, but in the coming of our Lord in the future when He comes to us. So in the church, in all of its penitence and waiting, according to St. Paul's exhortation, we are called to rejoice because the Lord of peace comes to you. You are always, we in the church are and always will be facing opposition. I mean, it's something that we just have to deal with. We are in the world, but not of the world. The Philippian congregation faced this kind of problems. They were having a problem with Judaizers. Now, in case you're wondering what a Judaizer is, it's somebody who has been converted, who has been baptized in the Christian faith, who now believes in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, but then they come along and say, well, it's good that you believe, but now you have to follow the laws of Moses. Now you have to follow all the dietary, all the ceremonial laws, all the feast days, all the fastings, and stuff like that. Now you must be circumcised. It's a good thing that you're a Christian, but now you must become a Jew. That's what the Judaizers were saying. So they're having to deal with this kind of thing. And they also face some internal conflict as well. Congregations today, of course, face similar issues and divisions. So there's opposition from within. There's also opposition from without in the church, from outside of it. Hardship and suffering are, of course, to be expected for those who confess Jesus Christ as Lord. I always wondered about people that will preach that if you become a Christian, everything will be wonderful and your life is going to be perfect from then on. And I'm like, I've been a Christian a long time, and I know that ain't true. I always recall Jesus' words. He said, count it all joy, or not Jesus, but Peter's word. He says, count it all joy when you face all kinds of suffering. So there we have it. Be joyful in your suffering because you are suffering with Christ. See, Christ Himself suffered even death on the cross, as we heard last week from Philippians chapter 2. And if Christ died this kind of a death, those who are in Christ indeed will suffer as well. In chapter 1 of Philippians, for it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in Him, but also suffer for His sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. Paul, in the midst of trouble, writes these words, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. As Ted said earlier, Paul's in prison. He's been imprisoned for his faith. He's in prison for Christ. And the Philippians are called then to imitate Paul in their suffering, and really in all things. He actually calls on us to stop living as though nothing big has happened. Stop living as if Christ never came. Because the Lord is here. He's in our midst. In the face of the conflict and opposition from both inside and outside the church, the Philippians are very anxious. So what does he say? He says, be anxious. Do not be anxious about anything. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we have many things to be anxious about in this world. I think you can agree with that. I mean, Jesus predicted, he prophesied that there would be wars and rumors of wars, that mothers would go against daughters and fathers against sons and mother-in-laws against son-in-laws and all those kind of things. That we would be under attack. There's a lot of things to make us anxious in this world. The Philippians were dealing with the same kinds of things. But in the midst of all of this, Paul says, do not be anxious about anything. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Do not be anxious about anything. Easier said than done. Am I right? Easier to say, don't be anxious, than to not be anxious. It's one of those things. We live in this world. We see what's going on around us. We worry about our parents, about our children, about our grandchildren, our relatives, husbands, wives. We worry. We are anxious. But Paul here gives us a different focus. He actually tells us that we don't have to be anxious. We can instead rejoice. And it's kind of an interesting thing. He says, rejoice always. It's not to be limited to just when everything's going great. Rejoice always. Don't limit it. See, for those who actually live in Christ, joy is a constant. Now, this is kind of an interesting thing. Joy doesn't mean you're going to be happy forever. It doesn't mean you have to smile in the midst of tragedy. Joy means that you trust in the Lord, that we trust in God in the midst of tragedy, in the midst of trouble, no matter what the circumstances, we trust that God is in control and that He will take care of our situations. However, He doesn't say just sit back and do nothing. He says what? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Not because God doesn't know what you need, as Luther says in the Small Catechism, but because we all need to hear our absolute requests made known to God. We need to make them known. It's for us, for our sake, not for God's sake. He knows what we need even before we ask. But He still wants us to talk to Him, to pray to Him, and to trust in His mercy, trust in His grace, trust in His love for you and for me. Because rejoicing is independent of all of life's circumstances. It's actually, joy is a gift of the Spirit of Christ. And because of that, it doesn't arise from our circumstances and it can't be squashed because of our circumstances. No matter what happens, joy is a constant in the church. And that joy will shape how we respond to conflict, opposition, or troubles. We respond as those who live in hope in Christ. We are a people of God who live with hope. Hope is what we are in this, as I said, in this world, but not of this world. What we are, we're kind of a people that know that this is not the end game, if you will. Somebody asked me one time, and I think I've said it several times, that what's the book of Revelations about? I always tell them, it's basically, here's the story of Revelations. It's going to get bad, then it's going to get real bad, then it's going to get real, real bad, but in the end, we win. And that's the truth. In the end, Christ wins. He returns. And that's what our hope, that's where our hope is founded. On the cross of Christ and on the resurrection of the dead. Because Christ was the first fruits of that resurrection. Our Lord comes to save us. And we look forward. See, during the Advent season, Advent means coming. Because in the Advent season, we look forward to Christ returning. And when He returns, our joy will be made complete.